Go.
Okay, we'll call the Public Works Commission Committee meeting to order. Can we establish a quorum?
Robert Purdy.
Linda Johnston.
Douglas Ward.
Tom Miller.
Russ Smith.
We have a quorum. Can Arlo's going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'd like to welcome everybody that's here, so we'll have a good day. How about the approval of the September meetings?
Okay, I find one error in the meeting minutes for September. Under page 5, number 13, adjourn. Says a motion was made by Norman McClung to adjourn a meeting. Norman is not on our committee, he is on the Planning Commission. So we should strike his name off there and write in somebody. And who knows did it.
I'll re-listen to the tape and figure out who it was. I'll listen to the tape and find out who it actually was.
Other than that, I find everything else okay.
Any other changes? Any other comments? All in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
Opposed? Approved? Okay, who is going to discuss property owner snow removal responsibilities?
Wanted to get your take. I know some of you read it in the bulletin. We just have noticed for a long time, in the last couple years, we've had too much snow. We haven't had much this year yet. We don't know what's starting, but we're working on an ordinance that discusses and codifies how people take care of their new landscaped areas and things like that. One of the things I have not been able to find, and they were looking, is in it could be buried somewhere, but what your thoughts are, we would add something to deal with snow removal of sidewalks. And people that come from other towns figure that you're supposed to take care of the snow in front of your house on your sidewalks. And what kind of got me thinking was I saw that story and Ben was going to start kind of enforcing it a little more. And we're a long ways from enforcing it since I'm not sure we even have a rule. So first you decide to get the rule. Enforcement could be years down the road, but kind of wanted to know what you think about that. When we went through town and talked to Corey and everyone looked and virtually nobody, and we're getting more sidewalks. You know, now there's a whole bunch of it at First Street and ODOT didn't plow any of that. So people then, I watch them, they're walking in the street because that's where there's no snow. So, and most cities, it is a requirement that you have to. So ODOT has to, Taco Bell does theirs, McDonald's does theirs, but others have to do theirs. And sometimes those others are your friends, neighbors, relatives, elderly mother. Remember, the devil's always the detail. Mm-hmm. So just kind of want a discussion here from you guys. If it's something you think we should, have it on the books and start trying to maybe do some outreach with people in the newspaper saying you need to do it. We are not sending cops out. We are not going to circuit court over it. It's just kind of one of those things that... But we have to do it ourselves. Our own sidewalks aren't getting plowed, like in front of City Hall. So we have to, Scott and his crew have to, in the morning on snow days, get out and get over at 7:30 in the morning and do that. So it affects everyone. So what do you think?
What are your comments?
Two things. Number one, I think it should be done. Mm-hmm. Number two, there's a conflict whenever the sidewalk is next to the street between whoever's running the snowplow or authorizing that and whoever's responsible for that sidewalk. Because they can clean the sidewalk, the next thing you know, the snowplow's filled it back up.
I don't know how you stop those.
I don't know how you mitigate that. But that's something you need to keep in the back of your mind when you go to enforcing this. Because you're going to have a seesaw battle.
I'm assuming that's in every town.
Yeah, exactly. Ben's got it. We had it in Eugene when I was there. It's all over the
place. But I don't know how I answer that. I guess I'm going to throw it back to you. The mayor can do a lot of things. We can pass an ordinance, but how do we say to, well, since you're the snow plow and you put the snow back up, you have to come back and do the sidewalk. It's impossible. It wouldn't happen. So you give me an answer, because I don't have an answer.
Okay. I was a snow plow operator, as well as a property owner. I did snow plowing out in the rural area where we dealt with berms and driveways. And that was up to the property owner to take care of the berm and their driveway, whether it be by hand, by mechanization, however it may be. In the city, it's up to the property owner of that adjoining sidewalk to take care of that, even though the snow gets pushed over there by the plow. And yes, you might be out there two or three times cleaning it up, but it's your responsibility ultimately.
Yeah. But then that's how you have to write it, I think.
Yes.
I think you have to write it that way, even though with the new sidewalks going in, I think you're going to have less trouble on the snow plow shoveling in on the sidewalk.
Well, that's one reason you take the, you notice our sidewalks are on the inside, so all this in between is
kind of but that's key. Only the new stuff.
Yeah.
The old stuff, you still have a problem
with,
but, you know, part of that
snow plows can go a little slower in tighter.
That's
where they're
not
throwing it so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, snow plows, again, Lapine isn't there yet, so I don't even want you. The snow plows like you're used to with ODOT, they don't in downtown Redmond, you know, it wasn't until a few years ago downtown Redmond was the highway. And downtown matters, they don't go through with that blade just thrown because it go hell it'll be up breaking windows on businesses. So they come through at night graded.
No.
So there are different ways. This is not how Lapine's operated, not how ODOT wants to operate Lapine, but it is how they operate in Sisters. Mm-hmm. How do you think the highway, they do Highway 22 or whatever, the 23 Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
They're not running through that blade down at 40 miles an hour, throwing snow 30 feet over with rocks going through the gallery windows.
Right.
Well, they might do it once.
Yeah, so they're going through slow, and they still get the snow plow. So again, I think ours are just used to kind of coming through at a high rate of speed. And because I noticed, I was over here across that, you could see where the snow was coming over from the blade.
Well, I can tell you from a snowplow operator's perspective, the slower you go, the less invasion you have of getting rid of the snow out of your plow. Ideally,
sure.
25 to 35 miles an hour is a nice speed to get rid of it. But if it's a safety factor, you got to think otherwise. And a grader is a great way to do that.
I just have two comments. Legally, the property owner, like in some of these subdivisions, owns from the grass or whatever it is up to the sidewalk, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they are responsible for the maintenance of the sidewalk. They don't own it, but they're responsible for that.
That's the ordinance that every other city has.
All right. Then we've got the swales in these subdivisions. The post office comes through, and if you happen to have mailboxes out in front of your house and a stack, which I do, and they say, I have to plow out the swale.
Hmm. Means so that they can drive up.
So that they can drive up.
Well, what they're saying is you have to keep the mailbox clear.
Well, the mailbox,
regardless of where it is,
is the sidewalk, and they could park either in my driveway or the end of the sidewalk there and walk down to it. It's kept, because I have a really nice neighbor that keeps it all clear. But now they're coming through and saying that we have to plow out the swale, which that is for runoff, and that's where the snow plows come through and put the snow on. So is that going to be part of, we need to kind of figure out what...
Well, I disagree with that.
Well, I'd like to disagree with it too, because that's my part of the trouble.
And I have to know, I haven't quite pictured what you're talking about yet, so...
Well, they like to drive up with their car or SUV or whatever it is and get out and take the mail and go right across the swale to the bank of mailboxes there because it's in the middle of the stretch of sidewalk.
In between driveways?
Yeah, and it would be that way in Huntington Meadows, too. So, and maybe in Crescent Creek, they're on pathways. I think.
The cities, to my knowledge, city staff does not go clean out mailbox areas.
Right.
And I don't know of a law that we can pass that makes a house two down go down and clean out where the mailboxes are. It's, you know what? people want less government. Don't we hear that every day?
Yes.
That I think the neighbors have to just figure out how they're going to plow out their mailboxes. I don't know how Scott can solve that one. And if the post office has a rule, because I can't, if the mailbox is in front of his house, and this guy's unhappy about it, I don't know how I can make him go down and plow it around the mailbox.
Do they fill the mailboxes from the sidewalk side or the swale side?
The swale side. They're walking across the swales. Well, say this is the sidewalk. It's all cleaned up. This is the swale. They bring their car up to the mailbox, and they want that trenched out to get to the mailbox when all that.
Well, they shouldn't be driving the swale anyway.
Correct. Yeah. Number one, what happens if they slip and fall in the swale and get hurt?
Nothing. Slip and falls actually from snow is, no one wins those.
Over here, you're right. You go over to the valley, Rick, it's a whole different ball game.
That's
snow and ice.
I have too many unemployed lawyers over there.
But I mean, these are things probably we need to think of when the city
It'll be how, those would be some of the things. I mean, I think that what we're thinking of as adopting is, I mean, it has to be fairly basic that when the snow is above 3 inches, you are responsible to clear your sidewalk.
4 hours.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's not going to be a 20-page document that goes into, you know, that we'll steal it from other cities, no doubt. And, you know, mailboxes. I think during snowstorms, I bet mailboxes are a fight everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I live out in a rural area, and that's one of the last things that gets cleaned, but it's usually by one of us property owners because the snowplow, it's on a side street, and that's the last street to get plowed.
Do they deliver the mail or just hold it for a couple days?
They reluctantly hold it, and sometimes there's a phone call made to one of the property owners saying you need to clean that out or you will not receive mail, period. Mm-hmm. That's happened too, which I think is a real...
The mail carriers, the mail is getting a little more picky about stuff.
See, the mail carriers' contracts.
Right.
Yes.
They're not employees of the
mail. States that the mailboxes are filled on the car. They don't have to get out of the car and walk to the mailbox. So they're just looking for...
When you go over, over to Kegel, you guys have got 50 mailboxes in a row of varying falling off.
No. Don't get started now.
I got the
who
same
goes team. Down and who goes down plus
who, whoever is now currently plowing the roads in Kegel, which I guess is Russell, it used to be.
But he's only done it one time.
Okay. They plow in front of the mailboxes. That's part of their job.
They didn't do that at all.
They've always done it. Ever since we've had snow plow service in Kegel, they take
actually,
the snow away from the mailbox.
You'll find out most of the people at Kegel come down the mail room and get their mail done.
Well, all those boxes are just...
I know ours is.
There's a lot of boxes.
They're all...
Most of them are right down by Vic's.
How do they do yours in your subdivision?
In ours? Well, they don't allow mailboxes in our subdivision. They have to be up on Huntington. And because several years ago when they came through, you'll notice they put pavement up to the mailbox. Uh-huh. They plowed. When they come through, there's pavement right up under the mailbox.
Got one of the metal boxes?
Yeah, they're metal boxes.
Yeah, those metal boxes are, you know, yeah.
I've got like 30 mailboxes on 3rd and Twin, where I live. And one of us residents just plows that up because they might be plowing the roads we have in our area, but they don't get to 3rd Street till 3 hours after they're done plowing. And that's... Those streets are the north-south streets, and they're the secondary road, so it's usually a property owner that goes out there and takes care of it.
Neighbors just do it.
Yep.
So it sounds like you're supportive of all of you to require people to take care of your sidewalk.
In that massive code program that we passed, 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, the code book's that thick. In there somewhere is an ordinance that says if you own the property and you have a sidewalk, you will clean the sidewalk.
I think it is in the zoning.
It's in there.
I told him on the phone yesterday.
It's in there somewhere.
I think it is in there somewhere.
The main problem is down Huntington Road, where it's mostly businesses, you only want to have to plow your sidewalk once. So there has to be a coordination between when the snowplow comes down and then you're right behind it to do the sidewalk. So we only have one time.
That's not going to happen.
Well, whether it's going to happen or not, that's the way it should happen.
What about all the renters we have?
The problem you have there, Doug, is you might have a snowplow down three times in a day.
It's
who are you going to call and let somebody know if you have a snowplow?
These roads around here have never been plowed more than once a day since I've been here in 20 years.
Twin Drive, the road I live on, when I moved here 10 years ago, that plow was plowed twice a day out in the country.
Here we only get it once a day.
If that.
One time.
Yeah.
So who do you call when you get, you as the snow?
You don't call anybody. When the snow reaches a certain depth, which again is in the code book, and I believe it's 6 inches, it's automatic clock.
That's fine.
And then, that's it. One time we're calling
when the sidewalk people come along, how do they know whether you can buy unless they go out and check?
Well, that's true. I agree. But somebody's got to keep the sidewalks there.
I think you're grabbing a far-fetched screw.
Okay, we'll look up that ordinance that we have, and then also we may add, we are doing an ordinance that we'll have a draft next week that requires, you know, the people to maintain the bioswales, the grass. You have to mow the grass in front of your business or property. It's just like people with, if you go to subdivisions in cities that have street trees and a little grass strip, the homeowner mows that. The city doesn't go down side streets through Beaverton and Tigard mowing
correct
side strips. Yeah.
They also have to replace trees that get broken and all the rest of that out of their own pockets.
I mean, it's again, everyone's used to that everywhere. It's just new for Lapine. So everyone's responsible for their landscaping after we build it. You know, the trouble comes in as a vacant absentee owner that's gone. You end up, I know in cities sometimes they go, well, what, and then actually you can then charge back, put a lien on the property. You know, if you get a property that is abandoned, because it looks, it makes the whole town look bad.
Right.
So it may not get mowed as often, but it will get mowed if we have to go in and do it. And then but that will be in this ordinance, maybe. We'll just combine all of that. And if it's inside our zoning ordinance, maybe we'll have it in a separate ordinance so that it's freestanding. It's very hard for people to go, well, I'll talk to Jeremy about that, just how we want to do it. Okay.
How about the ODOT informational round robin on upcoming projects?
Yeah, so ODOT, as you're probably aware, has a few projects coming through Lapine in the next few years. Most predominantly affecting Lapine are the Wickiup Overpass project and the Sun River to Highway 31 paving project, and in conjunction with that project, the Streetscape sidewalk project on the west side between 1st and 6th. We are working with ODOT to host an informational round robin, or I think the better term would be an open house in February for Lapineites to visit and be able to ask questions, stop by for 10 minutes, stop by for 20 minutes, visit. If they want to learn about the Wickiup project, they'll go over to that corner. They can talk to an ODOT spokesperson. City staff will be there as well. They can rotate around, get some information, ask questions. So I just wanted to put that on the agenda, let you know that we're in the process of scheduling that. Hopefully it will be at the Lapine Community Center. Again, probably the second or third week of February. When I have that scheduled, I will make sure that all of you are on the email list with an update for that. It'll probably be from 5:30 to 7:30. Any questions on that? Just wanted to give you an update. ODOT had been working on the access management strategy for dealing with right-of-way and property owners on this west side in particular for the paving and streetscape project. That will be an agenda item on the council regular session in January. The Wickiup construction bids were recently opened, and they should have a construction timeline from the contractor by February as well. So those are a little bit of background as to why we're aiming for February to provide this open house on their projects.
Is water and sewer working out there right now?
The what's that? The utility relocation project?
That's moving the water and sewer out of the what's going to be the ramp going up on the new overpass. It's being moved over to the edge of the new right of way. Yeah.
Is it going to stay there?
Well, probably will now, yes.
Well, there was going to be some temporary work that was going to be temporary.
They're not going to move it for temporary.
No, I think it was an accident or whatever. It wasn't water and sewer. Okay, okay, what about the water and sewer expansion?
So same concept, an old informational, informal open house for people to come and ask questions, stop by, get some information, and this will be on the water and sewer expansion up into Cable and Glenwood Acres. We had the ORDC Rural Forum at the end of October. This was one of the priorities and needs that the city identified. We presented to a room full of funders on the state level, whether it's the IFA or DEQ, and also federal funders and USDA or community foundations as well. So what we are doing right now is we're gearing up for looking at what potential funding sources will be for this multi-million dollar project. Anderson Perry has submitted their updated draft of the water master plan. We'll be receiving the wastewater draft plan hopefully next week. These will then be sent to DEQ and IFA. They'll approve them. And essentially at that time, the city will be able to host or have request a one-stop, which will be an opportunity to get funders again on a little more of a closer meeting to be able to actually discuss details and refer to those draft plans and find out what sort of a funding recipe we can fit together to get as much in grants and look at what else is available. So we're planning to have that open house in hopefully February as well, maybe early March, depending on scheduling with the one stop and moving forward on looking into some of those funding sources.
Did that include the little trailer park that's out there outside the city?
Not at this point.
Okay.
It could down the road. But it, I guess our study actually, we can take it in from a capacity standpoint.
Yeah.
So once the line is sitting there, across the street, so they did figure it in, I believe, okay. Numbers, because it's within, you know, because the plan figures every lot developed, you have to, but of course that never happens, you know, in any subdivision, you take Cagle, you know, some are not developed, they're just vacant, so, and then they added, so. Yeah, what we want to do is start the discussion. What Corey said is start having some meetings out there so people, you kind of have to start talking about it, you know, and people are going to want specifics. We can't give those. They're going to want to know right now as well what it's going to cost me, and we expect that, but the answer, well, we don't know that. But you just start working your way through this, you know, and we'll get, once we find out how much grant funding. I just got an email yesterday from the USDA, and they said we're eligible for 45% grant already now. The funding has to be there, but we're eligible for 45% grant funding. So if we're going to spend $10 million, almost half of it, $4.5 million of it, if we grant right off the bat. So that's pretty good. And there's only a few cities that qualify for that. So others are maybe 10%, 20% grant. So, you know, that's you know,
that's good.
Yeah, and then you get state grants to go with it. So, you know, that's what Corey and I and Scott's job is to spend, and Ashley, of course, she keeps us all moving. Is to get that figured out. But that's really that's the difference in this cost. You know, if we get 50-60% of it grant funded, you know, it's palatable. Right. If you get 10 or 20% grant funded, it's not very palatable. And for some, you have to realize, I mean, you just watch your national campaign going right now. I mean, for some, it can be 95% grant and it's not palatable.
Right.
Because I don't want it. So, you know, we're going to get all of that in between, depending on where people are in their life, in their property, and, you know, just stuff like that. But I think that if we can get a decent amount of grant, it's really our duty to move forward with this, and it's time to do that. And, you know, it'll be painful, but we want to start the discussion, and we know the first meeting and open house will be the most brutal, because it always is when you start the discussions. And then over time, they kind of get a little better. So we thought going out, we thought to Ross Elementary, right out there, and go into the library or something, and have some things and work with our consultants on it. You know, have boards like this, you know, right. Show you where the water lines, sewer lines would go. You know, also with that project, we were talking about, of course, bringing water in from out east, call it east of Gordy's, down Roslyn somewhere. So we'd have a dual source, so we're not going to get caught, which we've talked about. And that would help our fire flow. Just today, one of the emails I was reading here, Scott and I were talking on the side, is that we have a business that wants to expand out at Wiki up, and they're short by 200 gallons a minute of fire flow. It has nothing to do with drinking capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And so yesterday at 6:30 last night, I was talking to the engineer about it. And, you know, so it does have a limiting factor, and this would solve that. And the problem is we're running water clear from this end of town, clear out there, that would be able to serve from both directions, but the water flow is a key issue. So I don't know. I mean, it literally could theoretically stop a development out there project. So that's what Scott and I are going to discuss today, see if we can't figure out a way to around that. And you have to work with the fire department too, because it's usually, if you're within, as he said, you know, there was something else within a couple hundred gallons a minute, they said that's close enough. But every department or every...
Two fire chiefs.
Yeah, every administration has its own philosophy on that. And so we'll work through it. So that will come with this project also if we do it right.
You know, the other way is put a water tower on the ground.
Well,
yeah, as we sat in those meetings, though, that Anderson Perry presented, that secondary water source and reservoir took us from 1,400 gallons a minute out there to over 3,000 gallons a minute fire flow out there. Yeah. And throughout the rest of town.
And if we're going to add that much water to take on 300 houses in Cagle, you know, we really need to have that source out there. Too many places people could dig up a line between here and there.
Oh, yeah.
And if we don't have any storage out there, we have no source, you know, that's just, you know, from the power business, you just got to try to come in from two sides.
The other thought is, can you provide a duct from down Darlene or coming in the backside?
Drafter,
yeah, the plan had another well and reservoir out by Newberry Estates.
Good. That's it.
Elevation-wise, that's on the same elevation as our current water pump or water tower.
You mean drilling new wells up there?
Yeah, a new well.
Yeah, it's a full deal. You're gonna have two sources. So if one goes down, a forest fire shuts this one down because it's blowing through. And, I mean, literally the flames are lipping 100 yards in front of a firehead, we could go down, and that's our only water source, it's our only wells, and it's our only tank. And we could then pump from the other side this way.
Mm-hmm.
So you really, if you think about water, you have to have a redundant system.
Oh, yeah.
There's just no way around it, and it's going to cost money.
Either need a second system or a loop system in order to make that function.
Well, yeah. More than a loop, though, if you still only have one source. But
yes.
Your source gets knocked in your
So look for a couple, probably January, February, March, so we'll have a couple of these meetings out on two different topics, which Corey's outlined. We'd like you guys to be there, and those will probably take the place of a meeting here, you know, and we try to meet every other month. But, you know, it's to educate the public, start getting them up to speed, because those are huge projects for us.
Well, and it would help with people that kind of calm down now about the increase in water rates. Why we have to have this building, a secondary source like this, is a necessity, and it costs money.
Yeah, the water rate complaints have about gone away. So
good.
Okay. So the well at Glenwood Acres isn't suitable at all for.
Oh no, that's your well.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's a 15,000 gallon. That there's some water rights tied to that, or in any way.
Well, it's small.
It's a community water system, you know, with two wells, but you can only pump the 15,000 a day.
But can we buy those rights?
No, there are no rights.
Oh.
Yeah, we talked about our water from over there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's moot.
Well, one thing is you're downhill from everything.
It sets up on Huntington. Yeah, but
still fairly.
Yeah.
Those
wells are not operating because we're buying water from the city because those wells failed more than once, and the property's not big enough to support any new wells. Oh, okay. So.
Maybe we had to run water too. I think way to replace.
Say that again.
Well, we ran the city water down there because they were going dry. So.
And that's worked well.
I test every month, and I don't have to worry about it.
Right.
You know, it's working absolutely excellent.
Okay. What about the water mitigation credits?
Okay. Yeah, so some of you know this. I should have done my demonstration here. I didn't have my water bottles out.
Once was enough.
Well, they weren't here, were they? But we did buy 2.1 mitigation credits. We have to over some time, called decades now, probably. But at some point, we have water rights that are hanging out there. The state of Oregon is holding for us. They're reserved for us. But we can't use them till we buy mitigation credits. And there's 400 credits due to use all the water right that we have. So there's 400 credits worth that we're over time going to have to buy. And if you buy a credit, we get that much water is available to us. If you buy 10 credits, that much water. So you can just buy it as you move along, as credits are available. Water mitigation credits are difficult to find, and they're expensive in this basin. So we did have a broker call us who had someone that was looking to sell fairly quickly and negotiated a better price than the last people had bought. Sun River purchased some. For $15,000 a credit, if you do 15,000 times 400, you can do the math quickly. I think that's $6 million.
It is.
It's correct.
$6 million. I figured it out once. Basically, if you were just kind of divided by our users and stuff, it's $20-$30 a month. I mean, it's an unreal, manageable number. So we ended up offering them 10, and we got it for 11, but tomorrow I got a 3-hour meeting in Bend with the water districts. We're working on trying to get to where, if you were in Redmond, Madras, or Prineville's a little different, but say Redmond, Madras, and Bend, you would buy that same credit for $3,000 to $4,000. You take that $6 million and 15, go down to 2, and it's because we are in this, what they call sub-basin, which is called the Upper Deschutes. In other words, we have to find credits from Sun River this way. Redmond can buy up farmland. So you, in Madras and Redmond, you can literally go out and buy a farm. I've sold farms, sold one last year,
$4,000 an acre. With it comes water rights. So you literally just, if you need 100 credits, go down and buy 100 acre farm. And then take the water off and sell the farm for half of that.
Right. And that's what they're doing down the road here that you were trying to get their address for. They're selling those water rights separate from that farmland. That's why it's still sitting there.
That's right. So, you know, we're working on trying to make it where we have the highest priced water in Central Oregon Sisters, which when you get out toward Camp Sherman, even though they're close to the mountains, the way there's not many water rights out there. And so they're up paying $8,000, $7,000 to $8,000. Sisters paid $7,500 a credit to buy it, basically to buy, they bought up some farmland that was right next to the city. But we're like, theoretically, we're double that. So when someone says, why does water cost more in Lapine? Well, don't blame the mayor. I mean, these are just things that we can't control.
Kind of a geographic thing then, isn't it?
It's paper. It's paperwork.
Oh.
Because Redmond doesn't have a gallon of water that didn't start out with you. So when they buy up a farm, or it matters, when you buy up a farm, where'd that water come from?
Mm-hmm.
Wickham. But they get to use it as a credit because they say that's where it's coming from. The water, I'm arguing that the water came from here.
Right.
That ours should be.
Right.
All they did was through a canal or / Deschutes River, send it 40 miles. That gallon of water came from here.
We only get precedence.
So how in the world are we not paying that? So that's my argument. But and everyone looks at you like, yeah, no one says you're smoking and inhaling. They get it. But it's the laws. It's the zone of impact. The basin that you're taking it out of. Because Sisters argues, you know, well, all the water's flowing down off the Cascades. You wouldn't have any water with you if it didn't flow out of the Cascades, and they're the furthest west. That water had to flow by them.
That's a losing battle, no matter how you look at it.
So anyway, we did buy two credits. So what that means is our water right now, there was a drop dead date. We had about 11 months. That the state gave us when the districts, and Ashley and Scott, the board down there, very smartly years ago applied for a water right. They said that you had 5 years to buy up at least one credit. Once you buy up a credit, they consider it kind of entitled, I guess, or something, to where then they give you for a long time to buy up the rest.
Oh.
We had never bought a credit, and so I felt that even if we overpaid for that credit, we needed to get one because we only had 11 months left. And then we have to go in and redo the plan, which we're going to work on. And because we're a city now, we have more freedom than the districts did because we have a municipal water right. The districts are not a city. And even though they're drinking the public, they have a quasi-municipal water right. And they have shorter timelines than cities have. So we will be able to basically kick this can down the road, literally, I would say forever, but they do it in 10, 20 year cycles. But all you do is if at 15 years you've only bought another 50 credits, you just come up with a plan, adds out another 20. It just...
What goes into all those lots that were flagged or tagged or whatever, but you could trade off and get credits for that for everything?
Out in South County? That's sewer. It has nothing to do with water. That I'm aware of.
Oh, okay.
That was all the sewer, how they created the new neighborhood.
Right, right. Okay.
Or Crescent Creek. But so we have that, so we will be doing a plan, so we at least have the right now to be able to get this water and use it. And we figured it up. I mean, it's enough water for our growth for a long time. I mean, again, what's forever, but for decades.
Even if we build out?
Well, at our growth rate,
right?
Even if, you know, if you do 2 or 3% growth rate, we'll... And then that's what SDCs do. So theoretically, SDCs are buying capacity. So when someone buys a new house and they're going to pay us $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, that theoretically goes to help buy a water right.
Oh, good.
Part of that. And you know, you just buy them as you go, as they come available.
Okay.
So that's that. You know, it's one of those things. I've told the council that it's one of those quiet things that the public doesn't care about. It's boring to average person, but I think our job is to make sure that the community is set well beyond our tenure here and decades out, because water and water law is hundred years old plus. And
but it's
going to
be a really big issue.
Correct.
Okay, any other issues or concerns?
I've just been thinking, Corey, help me out here. This Sun River to Highway 31 paving project, can you give me just a real brief projection of what that is?
My understanding is that ODOT will be completely repaving the highway from Sun River all the way to
So it's going to be, it's not widening the highway or anything? It's just
I don't think they're widening.
So
I don't think
just
they're
just an overlayment over what they've got.
It's called preservation.
Preservation.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's a preservation.
Good enough. I understand now.
You'll have a nice new smooth road. Got the same width it is.
Until after the first winter.
Well, not good.
How about public comments? Staff comments?
Well, we want to know that Eric, we've hired him now. You know, he comes here all the time.
Right.
But I think we signed, didn't we? You're all good?
That's right.
Starting January 1st, technically, or something. But he's now is our city engineer of record. So we have a contract with him. And so when we get projects, planning things, if you have technical questions, we had him go check out the sidewalk over here. He did a report prior, then he went and inspected it afterwards, gave us a report that sidewalk was repaired, meets all the standards. You know, that helps us with individuals who get worked up, you know, their standards, and it meets it. And he did say it needed to be fixed. We fixed what he said needed to be fixed, and he re-inspected it. So it kind of takes away the good old boy stuff. And but that's what he'll do. We have him in on working on planning things. Like, he's helped us a bunch with the apartment complex that we did get. We did send that off the actual approval, or our requirements have been sent to them, and so they will, you know. And he helped us with lots of that, with, you know, sewer, water, roads, things.
This
like
is the
that.
One by the high school.
Yes. So that decision is out, but he's our staff. We pay by the hour, just like you do. If we need surveying work done, he has survey crews, and they come out. And every city has one. In the past, we've just used whoever kind of came by the district. Used Dick Norad. Kind of, oh, well, they did. He was your
right
record.
Perfect.
Yeah, and Dick's a resource for us, because he's been helpful to us whenever we call him. But technically, he will sign as our engineer of record. He's our spokesperson for those kind of things and represents the interests of the city, not the developer.
Good.
So welcome him, and don't forget to ask any questions you want. He'll become more familiar with us on everything, but he's already pretty good, and he does this for Sisters.
Wonderful.
Do you say anything?
Okay. One question. Did we do anything, or did the grant proposal go for the sidewalks on East Side?
Oh, East Side. We put in an application.
Put it
for that. Correct. Yeah. A couple weeks ago, we submitted
that. 1.75 million. And just to, we were like, we're the largest. We might have been almost the largest one there. You know, we're not bashful.
Is this ADA grants?
Oh, it's everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we put in, there was three times the applicants compared to the money. So, you know, that'll get a haircut.
Well, but, as long as it is as short as mine.
Right. Well, we like to start with long hair. But, you know, the feds just approved, they finally, after years, just moved that highway bill, and it's approved, and the president signed it. And our new Speaker of the House, give him credit, because that had been hanging around with John Boehner and the fight between all the parties. And Paul Ryan said, I use that as an example, and they ended up with you know, 75-80% approval from D's and R's on that, and that has been sitting there for years. That's going to free up some more money. And I don't know the numbers yet, Ken. We don't know, do we?
No, we don't know the numbers, but it's significant.
So that can help increase. That's one reason you always want to have some projects in these things, because it's kind of like Wikia. They just came along, the feds had some money, and it was called Shovel Ready.
I have heard $85 million with for the first year, and then each year there's going to be 10 to 15% increase for the state.
Really?
So that's all infrastructure.
I would say it's roads and transportation. Is it roads and transportation?
Is that the infrastructure bill?
It's the transportation.
Infrastructure, wasn't it? Well, does it do bridges and stuff like that?
It does everything. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a highway bill.
Oh, well, thank goodness for that.
And we put in for the 1.75, and that would do the east side of the road with the same thing we're going to see, what you see at First Street, only all the way. Of course, we're going to do it on this side, and then try to do it. That was 2019 to 2022. This is the cycle we applied for.
Did that put in a median, a raised median?
No, because there's nothing to do with the highways, the sidewalks. If there was going to be a median, that would be in there with this coming now, because they're repaving this thing. They're not tearing it up.
Well, they usually, before they get a big overlayment like that, they want to make sure all utility work's done prior, because they don't want it interrupted for 3 to 5 years.
We can't have a median in town because of the truckers. Mm. When they do their white loads.
Yeah. So we're not going to have a strip down there with landscaping in it?
Right out here? No. Not in the middle of...
Not the only thing they probably would allow is a rumble strip.
Stuff like that. I think we'll end up with some crosswalks and things that are, you know, like you see on the parkway. Mm-hmm. But no, I already fought that battle on the medians. No, because I tried to get them in the plan and that...
They look nice on paper.
They do look nice on paper. And of course, I believe there's plenty of width for it. I mean, my gosh, if you can't get through the pine.
Well, they would if they would slow down.
Well, no, I mean, just forget the speed they're going. I mean, between a 6-foot bike lane, I mean,
right.
You'd have to have a 40-foot truck. I mean, but.
The trucker's lobby is very strong.
Yes.
Yes.
Extremely strong.
And they got it in the legislation. There's actually was a bill passed that they have to sign off on. They actually, other people can just be grumpy. But the truckers actually have to agree to a plan. They actually have some authority that no one else has. So you have to negotiate with them.
Is that mostly ODOT?
Yes, with the highway state,
yeah.
But yeah, so Eric's here, and so if you have any questions,
Eric will take care of them.
What are we working on? Any projects, Eric? He says, oh no, now you put me on the spot.
Yeah, well, there's quite a few development applications that are
out
there, and so we're reviewing those, and I'm working with Scott on the inventory on the relocation of water and sewer out there in front of Gordy's, which will be done shortly.
Well, yeah, you see the pipes out there, and they're digging.
Yeah,
that's a contract that we let, but we're totally reimbursed, correct?
Right.
So
I sure love the view driving down that road. I'll tell you, just cleaning out a lot of the timber, it's just beautiful.
Didn't that make a big difference?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about thinning?
Yeah,
I mean,
that was really nice. You look up at Polina Peak. And
the thing of it is, you can come to a lot of corners here, and you've got to be careful nudging out there because of the sight distance. And the property owners are the ones that should be taking care of that don't.
Well, that property, that's all Beeland.
I think so,
on the
yes.
east side, yeah.
On the east side, it would be.
Yeah, yeah. In the west side, that'd be the county. Are you talking about the west side? Yes. Where the fire was.
Yeah.
Well, part of that was Crescent Creek, isn't it?
Well, that's all part of the county development.
And it's been thin now with the fire. So, okay. What about any other How about councilman and mayor? Anything you want to talk about?
That was BLM land. That's on the east side of the highway. Mm-hmm. BLM led a contract last year to have that cleared out through an ODOT agreement. They cleared out a large piece of land with timber that is off of Roslyn. If you go back to Roslyn to Newberry Estates, mm-hmm. you'll see they cleared out a big place right next to that ATV, OHV, I think they call it, playground. Mm-hmm. That's where they're going to get all of the dirt to make the overpass. They're going to dig a big hole there to get the dirt to make the overpass with. Okay. And then a BLM is going to turn that into the, I think they call it the third addition to the OHV playground.
Good.
Oh, so dig the hole and then...
That's
tear them up with
PDs. You go out there and you'll see where, mm-hmm. wow, all of a sudden in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
They've cleared out all this timber. Well, that's where they're going to get the dirt from. And then they're going to, like I say, turn it into
more on that project, because I talked to a couple people that are bidding on the Wikia project. And the big thing is getting enough water from the city because of all the compaction.
Oh,
so they're trying to dig up ways.
Yeah, I bet I've answered 1,500 meter questions.
Me too. Contractors. With concerned at the end of them, like, that's how much you charge for water. I'm thinking hydrant water is cheap, but that's why. Thanks. Shed some light on that for me.
Well, they got to compact it good, or you're going to end up with ruts like we have on 97 under the asphalt.
Oh yeah, I mean they'll have standards on that. That'll be well. Yeah, that is a lot of dirt to build.
Yep.
And a lot of times they'll base them with big boulders, but we really don't have boulders, do we?
Not around here. Mm-hmm. Those got to come out of bigger someplace like that.
So they're not going to haul those in, so.
No.
No, but they have put in a base on them. You can't just use this volcanic precipitate that we've got around here.
They'll probably put a base on the ground that's they have to.
Any committee member comments, suggestions, issues?
We did have a meeting with ODOT in here on this west side, and we had several businesses were in here. Both the grocery stores were here, and
oh, good.
The convenience store next to Brian Earl's place, and they were all. None of them complained about much, and so they met with between me, Corey, and ODOT, and they met with every business along there personally in their businesses. And so, I mean, they're really doing that right, I think. So they'll be, keeping engineering on that.
That's a good thing because you're developing a track record with mm-hmm. the businesses, and they can pass that along to other businesses and new businesses that you're being cooperative. And it's an education process. And that's what we need worse than anything.
Did you have issues, a lot of concerns with the egress and ingress in and out of property, so you can be changing some of that?
That's what this access management strategy that ODOT has been putting a lot of effort into and working
with. But it's
with.
Been just the west side so far?
Correct.
Okay.
Because they won't be making any changes to the east side. They'll be building the ADA ramps and then just leaving it.
But they will if we get this grant.
Correct. Well, but a few years from now.
2019 to 22.
Speed it up.
I'll get on with it.
We're not pushing long term, are we, to try and expand the east side like we are doing more so on the west side? And the reason I'm asking that question is for vehicular and pedestrian access. If you were to put a lot of businesses on the east side to try and get across Ashton Eaton Parkway here.
What do you mean expansion to the east side? Are you talking
getting traffic, walking
businesses?
Well,
retail businesses. Now, industrial park's a little different story.
Sure.
And I understand that, but you start taking the retail trade of like Mid Oregon Credit Union coming in there, or a grocery store, or
St. Charles.
St. Charles, bringing an urgent care in or something like that. I mean, if they're going to be acquiring property to build, are we trying to focus more on the west side with stuff like that as opposed to the east side?
Well, there's more, yes and no, I guess, more because you got Huntington and the highway, there's more of a block of commercial out there.
Correct.
Here, it's just really what you see back one set of lots across the east side, because you transitioned into residential and then the industrial part. I mean, in a planning sense, if you look at Lapine, you want to grow to the west because you want your highway to, this is not a good way to say it, a little odd, but to a degree you bypass your highway, the highway doesn't bypass you.
Correct.
We move to the west and the highway becomes kind of on your easterly industrial side. If you look at Lapine, when you have a highway, and then over a little ways, I got a railroad track. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing pretty about railroad tracks as far as residential living.
Right.
And then mix in an industrial park.
Right.
So if you think about everything east of this highway,
that's kind of the ideal setup.
I would say that you don't, you know, what you have, you have. This platted subdivisions are there, and they're legal to do what they're going to do. But when you look out these 10, 20, 30 years, it's all going to be between here and Burgess in the new neighborhood. I mean, that's where Lapine, and that's what the plan says.
Good.
And our infrastructure is built that way, with Burgess is going to have a cloverleaf, so you don't have to worry about traffic signals getting on the highway. First Street will have a signal. And so on both ends of your town, you can get on to Highway 97 to go north or south.
Gotcha.
Huntington is a major collector, and you want limited driveways, and you want to move traffic on that, and eventually you'll have bike lanes on each side of that, and you know, so that you can separate pedestrians and bikes, you know, if you really kind of look out there. So.
You answered my question.
And I think the businesses, you take St. Charles and the credit union, they want to be over on Huntington. We're pushing them over there because you want to create a downtown.
Correct.
So that people can start to walk. And St. Charles didn't want to be out here. This is more auto-dependent.
Yeah.
Did they ever find
higher speeds, auto-dependent, more your bigger grocery stores because they're there, but someday, you know, you can end up with one over there. Gas stations, just that kind of stuff.
Hotels. Did St. Charles ever find their 3 acres?
Pretty much. I mean, it's not a signed deal.
Good.
Yeah, I was supposed to meet with them last week, and then that snowstorm hit. But we're working with them on helping them acquire that. It's not,
good.
We're not the ones, but we're helping make that happen. And they are pretty much. I've had some architects and engineers call me that are kind of starting to do some things. But yeah, that'll be over on.
So that's a real possibility.
The clinic.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's.
And that'll be on the west side?
Yeah, it's going to happen. Yes. It will be on Huntington, near, call it Bi-Mart. In that area, it'd be that end of Huntington. So, I just don't want to really describe the lot because it's up to them.
No, but remember getting permission to have people go in and out of some of the commercial properties on the west side has been really hard. When, you know, they all went through this if they were going to get approved.
You're talking about access?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what we're doing with everyone, and you'll notice it when you see the credit union build, and you saw it with Rex and all of them, anyone building there now, you're going to see they go over, well, depending, 4, 6, 8 feet, the new apartments. Where they're going to be, you know, where they enter there, the new apartment complex, for the part that fronts the road, how many feet did they give up?
9 feet.
Now, nothing is maybe going to happen. You're not going to see a curb out there yet. But what we're doing is, on approvals, we require they give up. So what you're doing is, that road will become, how many feet wide? So what's our...
The right of way will be 78 feet wide.
78 feet.
Okay. The pavement would be about 50.
And so we're 60 now in some places. Mm-hmm. So we need 18 feet, you take 9 from each side. Now that varies as we go, but we don't approve a development or even a major change in an existing one. If they want to do a big add-on, we start to acquire. And that's why you may hear some grumbling, and those of you like coffee shops, You know, a lot of the things we do, we don't just wake up this morning, we're bored, and we decide, how can we make life miserable for someone? It's doing the things
it's
we
do.
Right, and that's what
well, yes, premeditated. We yeah. need a 72-foot right away down there, and the only way you get to people is when they want to do something. So what happens is they say, well, my gosh, I'm going to be sitting here, but everyone on the other side of me here, you know, they're sticking out. Well, all buildings get rebuilt and added mm-hmm. onto at some point. And these are, again, decade-long processes. But you have to start acquiring that right away, and we've acquired now three since we've been running it this way. But this discussion just came up. Corey and I were talking yesterday, and I remember we're going to meet with some our planner. Even on, you take, Finley View. Somebody wants to do something over there. They want to partition their lands. They want to take a lot, partition it. And that then triggers
the TSP.
The TSP says, well, we're not wide enough, and so they're going to have to give up. And the guy's already agreed to give up that fee, verbally. So these are all the different things we're thinking about when we're doing all of these to build it out so that someday Finley Butte has the right right-of-way so you can have sidewalks on both sides, still have a major road with a bike lane.
Perfect.
The road you see today will be there a decade from now.
Mm-hmm.
But
good.
We start acquiring that.
And you're going to do that for any subdivision build outs now. You've got a plan and this is the way
well,
it's going to be?
Subdivisions, you know, the subdivisions we have that are already there, that are approved how they are. We will never approve a subdivision like Huntington Meadows as long as I'm
or
around.
Or Peaceful Pines, which is falling apart.
Peaceful Pines, I don't know.
That's
Peaceful
next
Pines
door.
Is.
It's just a little cul-de-sac and
yeah.
it's already deteriorating.
Yeah.
So.
So the concept of the bioswale, you know, with the way they've done all that, you know, we would not. We're going to come up. We want to come up with some new subdivision standards, and that's something we'll work with.
Good.
With Eric on subdivision standards, and so and well, an example is the phase next to Crescent Creek. They've asked to be an extension because it's you know there's not enough demand right now to build it.
Right.
And so. That developer, Polish, is asked to have an extension on that phase.
Mm-hmm.
And but when you do that, you just take the current terms. One of the things that I required of them is that that's true. However, they will have to meet the regulations and requirements at the time they develop.
Oh, good.
Okay.
The ones that are in place, because I don't want that, because otherwise they could take the regulations that they were approved on, which we don't want. So I went back to their folks, their engineers, and pushed back on this, like last month, and said, no. If you want an extension, I want something from you, and that's going to be that you're going to meet our future codes. And they agreed to that. Dennis Polish said, fine.
Good.
So, that in that extension, I don't think we're done with that yet. So.
Because there's no inventory out there. So if people want to come down here and buy
well, there's 10 or 15 building. Lots in Crescent Creek.
No, I mean to build. That yeah, we're going to have to go to building. Because there's no,
well,
there's
yes.
no, uh-uh,
no,
we're
no,
out
no.
of listings.
Yeah, you're right. And as soon as people start building Crescent Creek and say maybe back in Huntington Meadows and some of these other fill-ins, I think you'll start to see, but no one wants to go punch in a new subdivision right now with this many vacant lots. The cost is too high.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can buy a lot for less than it costs to develop. That's the problem.
But if someone were to go and buy in some of these, like Peaceful Pines and stuff, mm-hmm. you're going to make them upgrade that, right? That's going to
no.
be... No?
No, that subdivision is probably approved, right, Eric?
Yeah, the improvements on that subdivision are already complete, so they've already met their requirements. So.
What if they've all disintegrated?
New,
well, I mean, you've got the water and sewer there, but sidewalks and stuff are hideous.
Sidewalks are in. They met the requirements at the time.
They can be
they're
taken
not,
out and a new put in.
Not for an individual residential site plan application. There would have to be a change in land use to trigger that to happen. The land use process is complete. as part of the subdivision. So the requirements that were there at the time, they fulfilled those requirements, and they're done. Right. So they're out of it. You got to get on the new applications. You can't go back to the ones that are already completed.
Yeah, we can't go back very well. And so that's why we're being so strict on the ones moving forward. You know, an example is the approval that we just did on the apartments. They wanted a 15. They wanted the ability to, we would approve it now, say we did it. They wanted it to where they could build that thing over the next 15 years. Mm. And the requirements of today are binding 14 years from now. Mm. And I really dug my heels in on that. And it's good for 5 years. And so then again, when you're at the various truck stops and things, you may hear people grumble. But I don't believe that we can sit here and say that you can build something 14 years from now based on the rules that were in place.
Very good.
5 years ago.
Right.
I think you're doing good to extend it that long, because we got to deal with change from here on out. Otherwise, we're going to be back in the Stone Age.
So what we basically did is we approved the first phase and the second phase, and then you have 2 years. Once you get this approved, you have 2 years to do that. Then you can ask for an extension to get you three. And anyway, that's how it, and what it was is it was going to be a 3 year, and then you can ask for an extension to get you another three. And then, but these phases then don't even begin till way out there. And then you can add 3 years onto that. And that's how you roll this thing out 15 years. And developers like it because they know they like the rules we have today. If you're a developer. And they worry about the rules of the future.
Right.
So we hear you. We know it's pretty obvious if you drive around, we know where the failing stuff is and what's got to be changed, but we can't do anything about pre-existing.
So when you pull up your permits and some, if I have an investor that wants to buy four lots out here where everything's disintegrated except the water and sewer, they can go ahead. They don't have to bring anything.
Well, they can, but I mean, if I'm going to, believe me, if I'm building a place and I want, I'm going to go, I'm going to go spend $1,000 and re-pour the sidewalk. I mean, just because of it. How are you going to have a brand new house?
So they go to the planning commission then? Would they go to see planning commission to investigate all this and what they'd have to do?
Not the planning commission.
Okay.
Nobody goes there.
Okay.
They any planning person stops City Hall. Corey's our first. Well, okay. Ashley's the first smiling face. Then they get ushered up to Corey.
Okay.
And then Scott usually is in the edges chirping.
Well,
quiet. And then Eric. And then they all call me because they don't like the answers they get.
Okay.
And you just reinforce what they went through.
Reinforce it with explanation marks.
And stuff.
And then send it back down. Then they say, well, I'm damn glad I got Corey and Scott.
Well, now you have Eric. Okay, anything else? Are we ready to adjourn?
That's a true statement.
I so move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Adjourned.
Thanks, everyone. Don't be afraid to call or email us, Corey, if you need.
I'm wondering.